Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Happy Sunday. Welcome to the house of God. Who's ready for the word of God? Stay standing. We're going to read scripture together. I just really get a sense that God is about to do something incredible in 2026. And I know that I say this every year, but I just feel like this year is going to be a really special year for so many people. Amen. I don't know if you really get a sense that the year is really now in full swing. Kids are going back to school this week, right? How many of you are relieved about that? Em's relieved. Tegan's relieved. Happy, sad for some of us. Connects are starting. We've got Heartbeat Summit. Oh, man. Church, God is doing something. And the message I'm going to be speaking to you today, I actually prepared. God gave it to me about June last year. I wrote the outline for it, wrote the framework for it, but I never felt a release in God to preach it. And it wasn't until January that the Lord said, I want you to release this to the church. And I preached this at Myrie and online and Bunbury and Belmont got it last week. And I want to deliver it to you today because I really feel like it's a prophetic word that prepares you for what lies ahead in 2026. Is that okay? We're going to go to John chapter 11 and we're going to parachute in into a difficult conversation that surrounding that difficult conversation is a difficult situation. Some of you might be thinking, hold up, it's the 1st of February, PK. It's a little bit too early for difficult conversations and difficult situations. Hang in there. It has an incredible, hopeful conclusion to this. But it's a difficult conversation because the conversation is between two people that know each other very well. I don't know if you know that some of the crunchiest conversations you'll ever have is between two people that know each other very well, right? You don't tend to have awkward or difficult conversations with people that you don't know well, but... Yeah, and the reason for that is because we have higher expectations of the people that we know well. I'm looking at you, husbands and wives. I am. We have harder conversations with people that we know well because we've got higher expectations of them. And it's a difficult situation because it resulted in what seemed like a negative outcome. So we're going to pick up the account, John 11. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 2 gives us information, vital. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one or the same woman who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, verse 4, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Verse 17, we're going to jump down to that. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb or dead for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And then Jesus says this to her, your brother will rise again. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that incredible text? High five two people before you sit down. Tell the person on your left that they are so blessed to be sitting next to you. Out of all the people that they could be sitting next to, God chose you to sit next to them. This morning, my sermon title is simply this. I've got faith, but I'm frustrated. I've got faith, but I'm frustrated. Can I ask a little bit of a pop survey? How many of you finished 2025 and started 2026 with quite a few unanswered prayers left, a few spiritual loose ends? Half of us, the rest of you guys are liars. How many of you you finished 2025 and you started 2026, and maybe for some of you, you even look back at what you believed God for at the start of 2025, and here you are, it's the 1st of February 2026, and it doesn't feel like you're that further ahead than where you were 12 months ago when you were believing God for different things for your family, for your marriage, certain things in your health, maybe different things surrounding your life, and it feels like we're about to step into a period of praying and fasting tomorrow that starts, hello, participate. 10 days of that. You're about to hear from me across Vision Weekend about all the things that we're believing God for. And here you are, you're doing your best on the 1st of February, and you've walked into church, you're holding faith and frustrations in the same hands. How many of you with me? And I want to get around Scripture today to kind of give you some theology around how to navigate life while you're endeavoring to become a man or woman of faith, whilst holding frustrations, unanswered prayers, roadblocks, delays, a tarrying Jesus, whatever you want to call it, in the same hands. Because if we don't learn how to adequately navigate life, holding faith and frustrations in the same hands as believers, eventually we will let these frustrations erode our faith. Makes sense to you guys? Because I guarantee that there's not a single person in this room, if you love Jesus, that has, when you walk your journey of faith, I guarantee there's not a single person in this room that's got any problem with the character of God. How many of you, do you just love the fact that you got a good God? That you got a gracious God, you got a loving God, He loves you unconditionally, His mercies are new every morning, all of that. We love that. But if there's any kind of frustrations to be had with God in your journey of faith, it's not with the character of God, it's always with the timing of God. You following me so far? It's like, we're cool that you're a loving God. We love that. We understand and we know your character, but we don't always understand your timing. And so we carry faith and frustrations in the same hands. And for so many of us, we know God, we've got a revelation of who He is, but we're quite ignorant about His timing. And so maybe if you're carrying faith and frustrations in the same hands today, maybe you know God, but you're ignorant about His timing. In this account in John chapter 11, Mary and Martha, sisters, and Lazarus, their brother, we kind of get the idea that they are good friends with Jesus. They might have known Him for a really long time, maybe grew up with Him. Lazarus takes ill. It doesn't look good. You can imagine with me, John chapter 11, his sisters look at him. He's probably unconscious, shallow breathing. They're not doctors, but they could probably guess he's got maybe a day and a half max to live. He's looking really bad. You know what I'm talking about? It ain't looking good. The doctors have probably said to them, there's nothing we can do for Lazarus. We can't you know, make him any better. So they send word to Jesus, who was, scholars believe, was in a place called Perea, maybe about a day's walk or a day's journey away from Bethany where they were. And they said this to Jesus. So they said, messenger, tell Jesus this, Lazarus, the one whom you love, is sick. How many of you have been walking with Jesus a really long time? You tithe, you serve, you go to Heartbeat Summit and all of that. And you feel like when you pray, you can ask God to pull your prayer request to the top of the pile for a bit of special treatment because you've been a good Christian this year. How many of you have felt that? Well, Martha was doing exactly the same thing. She sent word to Jesus, Jesus, your bro, your homie, Lazarus, he's really not well. In other words, whatever you're doing in Perea, you drop that. You come straight to Bethany because our need is the most important thing to you right now. I call that mates rates prayers. You know what I'm talking about? Mates rates. If you don't know what mates rates is, if you're not from Australia, right? Mates rates is when you engage in some kind of service like a plumber or a mechanic, but you ask for preferential treatment or a discounted rate because of a pre-existing relationship. Make sense to you? Like you grew up with them, they were your high school mate. Mates rates prayers. It's like, Jesus, I want you to drop everything that you're doing right now and come and meet my need. This is going to blow any kind of genie in a bottle theology that you might have of Jesus. Because it says here in John chapter 11, verse 1, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus. Put it up on the screen. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there 2 more days. John chapter 11, verse 5. John 11, verse 5. He stayed there 2 more days. Think about that for a second. You would have thought that if Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he'd drop everything and come immediately. Because I've been a church pastor now almost 22 years, and I have never heard a Christian say, well, God didn't come when I needed him. I feel so loved, said no Christian ever. Do you know what I mean? And here is Jesus. And he hears the word that Lazarus, his long-term mate, is sick. ill to the point of death. And he decides, well, boys, let's just chill out in prayer for another couple of days and then start the day and a half journey's walk day after tomorrow, late that evening. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, what are you doing, Jesus? Can I suggest to you today that sometimes as believers, our frustrations are hardly around the character of God, but often around the timing of God. We can hear this in Martha's voice in John 11, verse 21, when she says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus. So she acknowledges him as Lord. She acknowledges his lordship. She's got faith in who he is. Lord, Martha said to Jesus. Now you hear the frustration with his timing. If you'd been here. How many of you ever said that to Jesus? If you'd been here. If you'd answered my prayer a little earlier. My brother would not have died. Have you ever held faith and frustrations in your same hands? If, Lord, if you'd given me the promotion when I prayed for it, I would have got the pay rise that would have qualified us for that home loan. So we would not miss out on that house that we wanted. God, if you'd came and sorted that issue out in my business back when we prayed for it last year, we wouldn't be in this kind of contractual issue right now that we're in. Lord, if you'd healed me when I needed that healing back, then I wouldn't need to have to go through the kind of treatment that is so uncomfortable right now. Come on, have you ever said that to God? If you'd been here, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Martha was in a season of, if I have faith in you, Jesus, but I'm frustrated with you as well. How are you living it right now? If you'd come through the way that I want you to have done for me, I wouldn't be where I am right now. The reason why this message is very, very important, hear me, is because I'm about to lead you into a season of unprecedented faith for what God is going to do. But if we don't know how to navigate holding faith and frustrations in the same hands, we are going to allow one to erode the other. Makes sense to you? The reason for that is because frustration, you got to understand, frustration is an extremely emotionally exhausting state of mind. Frustration is described in psychology as the experience of having a desired outcome inhibited or blocked. How many of you have been in that season of your life? A desired outcome that's inhibited or blocked. It's a place where your body is in a permanent stress response, where your cortisol levels spike, your body's in an indefinite period of fight or flight. It's mentally exhausting. And if you're an overthinker, the lie is that you can overthink yourself, you can think yourself out of frustration. But the more you think, the more frustrated you get. Know what I'm talking about, right? And sometimes when we don't allow or know how to navigate the place where we're holding faith and frustration in the same hands, our prayer language can start to change. Psalm chapter 13, David's prayer language started to change as this man after God's own heart was also carrying frustrations in the same hands when he says this, how long, Lord, Psalm 13 verse 1, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Scholars don't attribute this particular writing of Psalm to an event, but they feel like it was an extended season of David's life where he didn't know when this season of faith and frustration was going to end. And it wasn't like a shout at God, but it was a bit more like, if you can read it correctly, it was more like a weary sigh. It was like a, how long? How many of you ever let out a weary sigh? How long, God? How long more? How long more with this chronic illness? How long more in this marriage that seems to go nowhere? How long more believing for my 18-year-old to come back to God? How long more? And the thing about holding frustration and faith in the same hands is that frustration doesn't initially steal from your belief. You don't immediately say, I don't believe in you, God, anymore. But you will initially start to say things like, God, where are you when I needed you? God, where are you when I needed you? And eventually, that sentiment will begin to erode your faith in God. How long more? Faith in your character, but frustrated with your timing. It's on that basis that I want to remind you, church, that God does not wear the same Apple Watch as you. Hello? How many of you know that you've got a God that doesn't work on the same Google calendar as you? He doesn't work off your same Asana list. He doesn't work off your same life plans that your life coach has given you for your life, that by now you should be doing this, and by now that should happen, and by now, and by 30, you should be married, house, 4 kids. You know what I'm talking about, right? God does not work according to human schedules. And if you ended 2025 and started 2026 waiting in faith, but frustrated with God, I'm here to remind you today, you need to allow your revelation of His character to form the basis of informing you about His timing and not the other way around. Come on, somebody. Our faith in His character must shape our understanding of His timing, not the other way around. Because if you let His timing shape your understanding of your character, then when it doesn't work to your calendar or your schedule, you'll craft a narrative in your head that God doesn't love me, that God doesn't care about me. You start to say things that, what's the use of trusting in God? What's the use of coming to campus prayer? Because He hasn't come through for me in the way that I expected Him to. Maybe He's not a good God. But if you anchor your understanding in His character and let it inform you of His timing, then maybe when He delays or when He tarries, you will say things like, I'm not sure what's going on right now, but He's got my best interest at heart. I'm not sure why He hasn't answered my prayers right now, but this is what I know. He cares for me because He's a good God. Come on, somebody. I'm not sure why there's such a delay in what I'm believing for right now, but this is what I know, that I trust this God, that He knows better. Come on, somebody, give God a big shout of praise. We've got to let our understanding of His character inform our understanding of His timings. Otherwise, we're going to allow our frustrations with His timings to undermine our revelation of His character. Come on, somebody, give God a shout of praise. Because I believe that God is going to do this in this church today. I believe that prophetically there's some people here where you're holding frustrations and faith in the same hands. And this is what I love about Martha and also David in Psalm 13, is that they turned their frustrations into trust. Everywhere in Scripture, actually, you'd see Abraham and Nehemiah and Joseph and Paul, and the list goes on. People, many, many characters in the Bible that have had to hold faith and frustration in the same hands, all turned their frustrations into trust. If there's anything I want you to write on your book today, on your notepad or on your phone, it's this: turn your frustrations into trust. Martha said in John 11, 21, we read it before, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Frustrated with you, Jesus. But hear the change of turning that frustration into trust. She says this in verse 22, but I know. Oh man, is God going to raise a but I know church in Port Kennedy this weekend? But I know that even now, this is the trust in the character of God, but even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus responded to her and said, your brother will rise again. I believe that God is going to turn some people here in the season of the weariness of waiting into the wonder of trusting again. If you're in a season of the weariness of waiting, He's going to turn it into this wonder of trusting Him again. Even David, that weary self, how long, God? How long must I wait? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Immediately, he turns that frustration into trust in verse 5 when he says this, but I trust in your unfailing love. Come on, do I have some people that want to turn their frustrations into trust? My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. God is not threatened by your frustrations, but He wants to invite you to turn those frustrations into trust. Come on, somebody. Jesus was not threatened by Martha's frustrations, but He was inviting her to turn that frustrations into trust. Are you following me so far? And I think one of the key planks of turning your frustrations into trust is to remind yourself that what God has in store is always greater than the outcome you were hoping for. If ever you're in a season where it feels like there is unanswered prayer, there's a delay, that God hasn't come through for you the way that you expected Him to, a key plank in turning your frustrations into trust is to remind yourself that God always has a greater outcome than the one you were expecting. John chapter 11, Martha looks at her brother and goes, man, bro is looking really unwell. I'm going to send word to Jesus. Jesus, your bro, your homie, Lazarus, he's really sick. Come now and heal the guy, right? Jesus hears that word. The Bible says he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus and decides to chill out 2 more days, right? We get to the end of the story. We hear that Lazarus dies. He's buried in the tomb for 4 days. You guys need to catch this. When Martha sent word to Jesus for him to come and heal Lazarus, Martha wanted a healing that day, but Jesus wanted a resurrection. You guys not getting this. That day, Martha's prayer was that Jesus would come and heal her brother. But Jesus had another outcome in mind. Do you understand that? Because up until then, in John chapter 11, Jesus was going everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Everyone was going, who are you to preach the gospel of the kingdom? You're just a carpenter's son. Who are you to want to heal people, turn water into wine? You're just a nobody from Galilee. In fact, we've got question marks over your parental lineage. We knew that Mary wasn't really married to Joseph when she had you. Who even are you? Because up until then, he was just a good teacher from Galilee or a carpenter's son. You follow me so far? That day, Martha wanted a healing, but Jesus had a greater outcome in mind. He wanted to prove to the world once and for all that he could conquer death. I don't know what outcome you're believing God for right now. It feels like he's tarrying. It feels like he hasn't heard. It feels like he's just chilling out in prayer for an extra couple of days when you've got an urgent matter that needs sorting out like stat, like yesterday. I'm here to remind you today that when we pray, we want problems fixed, but Jesus actually wants the Father glorified. Maybe he's preparing a greater testimony for you. Come on, somebody. I'm living this with my disabled son. I'm saying, God, I want you to sort this issue out right now. But God keeps reminding me the outcome I have that's coming one day is going to be far greater than the solution you're looking for today. Come on, somebody. Martha wanted a healing, but Jesus wanted a resurrection. Maybe you're here today and saying, God, I'm so disappointed of missing out on that new role or that new position within my company. Maybe God's saying to you, I've got a completely different company and a completely different industry in mind, because that new office that I've got in mind for you, that new place, that new role, that new position pays so much more. And there's 4 people working in the cubicles around you. They're going to need to hear your testimony in about June or July sometime this year. Come on, somebody. See, when we pray, we want God to fix our problems, but God's got a greater outcome in mind. There's a greater agenda at work. Maybe you're here today and saying, God, if only I got that pay rise, we would have got that rental that we really, man, it's so competitive out there. And you know, it's the suburb that we want, and it's near the school that we want to check our kids in. And now you find yourself in a suburb you would never dream of living in. In a school you wouldn't dreamt of checking your kids in. And God's saying, I actually have you here because at school pickup sometime in September this year, there's going to be 2 families that are going to be waiting to ask you about church and come to playgroup with you. Come on, somebody. See, Martha couldn't see what was ahead, but Jesus could. When she sent word to Jesus and she runs out of Jesus, totally frustrated, say, if you'd been here, he wouldn't even be dead. She couldn't see what Jesus had in mind. And I get it, that following Jesus can be a little confusing sometimes. Can it not? Like, it's confusing for me. Because when they sent word to Jesus, Jesus actually said, well, this sickness will not end in death. Lazarus died. We just read it. It's in your Bible. It was on the screen. The sickness will not end in death. The dude's dead 4 days. Well, he was sort of right. Lazarus died, but it didn't end in death. It ended in a resurrection. Let scripture speak to you today. Sometimes we read the Bible, we need to let the Bible read us, right? See, sometimes we write conclusions to our stories that Jesus never wrote for us. Sometimes we write endings to our circumstances that Jesus has never written for us. Jesus already written the ending to this story. This sickness will not end in death. Martha instead wrote a contrary ending. She said, he's dead. 4 days. What are you talking about? If you'd been here, you wouldn't have died. Jesus said, oh, that's not the end of the story. Can I prophetically share with some people today this phrase? It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story for you. It's not the end of the story for your young adult daughter. It's not the end of the story for what you're believing for in your health. It's not the end of your story. Is that helpful to you guys? I just want to go another layer before we bring this to a landing. You know, sometimes when we're holding faith and frustrations in the same hands, it's easy for us to give ourselves permission to not be obedient to God. Have you ever felt that way? When you're frustrated with God, the last thing you want to do is do what he says. And when you're waiting for an answered prayer, when you're waiting for God to do his part, he rarely comes and gives you the answers. He often comes and gives you new instructions. You know what I mean? Luke chapter 5, right? So these disciples like fishing all night, caught no fish, right? Jesus rocks up. So they've washed their nets, hung it up on the racks, docked their boats, the whole thing. These guys have fished all night, no income, right? No fish to sell in the markets that day. You think that the Jesus, if he was kind and compassionate and good, would just materialize fish suddenly, just give him fish. Go off to the markets, it's dawn now, right? Jesus gives them new instructions. Hey, boys, take all your nets, put them back in the boat, row out into the deep, cast your nets to the other side. New instructions. If I was the disciples, I'd go, just row out yourself. Matthew 14 and all the other Gospels, there's 5,000 men plus women plus children. Jesus leads them to this random paddock, no shops anywhere. They're all hungry, right? You think that Jesus would just materialize food to feed them. Jesus goes, no, I've got new instructions for you. You feed them. What have you got in your bags? 5 loaves, 2 fish. John chapter 11. Lazarus is dead 4 days. Martha is like she is losing her mind. She's beside herself. We're going to read this account. It's quite funny. It's not really funny. It's quite serious. But I find it funny. I'm a little twisted that way. John 11 verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. There's a real finality to that, isn't there? There's like the body's in there 4 days. And the tomb has like a big stone over it. Does it sound familiar? Hello, Easter. Huh? It's prophetic, isn't it? And then Jesus gives a new instruction. Take away the stone. Here's Martha again. I am 100% convinced that Martha's an Aussie lady, probably about in her mid-40s. Because she, if she could see the manager, she'd see the manager right now. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. In other words, Jesus, you rolled a stinking stone away yourself. I'm not doing it. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Can I just say that our frustrations with God are not a license for disobedience? Because Jesus says to Martha, I want you to roll the stone away. I want you to think about the emotions that come with that. I want you to roll the stone away. Like if I was Martha, I'd been thinking, Jesus, if you got here 4 days earlier, we wouldn't have to go through this whole rigmarole, right? And yet Jesus is saying, I want you to roll the stone away. Before the resurrection, there's often an instruction that might even trigger your deepest frustrations. It's a bit like this. You and your husband have been believing for a child, married a few years now. Struggle conceiving. This is the year. Could it be the year? No. This is the year. Could it be the year? No. It's 2026. You think that this is going to be the year that God answers your prayer? He gives you a new instruction. I want you to serve Kids Church and love children that are not your own. Roll the stone away. Wow. All getting real quiet now. Maybe there are some things in 2026 as you're holding faith and frustrations in the same hands where it's asking you to roll a stone away in a place that might even trigger the place of your deepest frustrations with him. You guys don't need to get so quiet. I know it's getting a little awkward in here, but it's a 9 a.m. service because we're all mature here. Maybe you're saying, God, I'm believing for financial breakthrough. Could this be the year where we financially break through as a family and God gives you an instruction sometime in March? I want you to withdraw $2,000 from your bank account and put it in the hands of the single mom in that next service that you often see walking, and she looks real tired and has not much. Come on, somebody. Roll the stone away, Martha. Roll the stone away. Here's the thing. The resurrection only happened because Martha decided, I'm going to roll the stone away in spite of it triggering my frustration that he's 4 days and he stinketh, says the New King James Version. Maybe you're here today and you're not in the house that you want to be. You don't have permanency. You'd love to buy your own home. And Lord is saying to you, this year in your Connect, you're going to help give up. You're going to give up 3 Saturdays to help people in your Connect, 3 of them. 3 families to move into their own family home. Roll the stone away. See, for so many of us, we say to God, I want you to answer the prayer first. I want you to resurrect Lazarus first before I roll the stone away. It doesn't work that way. Hello? Musos, you can join me. It doesn't work that way. For so many of us, we're saying, God, you roll the stone first. You raise Lazarus first before I roll the stone away. You come through for me first. You fill my bank account first before I go help somebody else. You give us our own kid first before we love someone else's kid. You give me that rental in that place first before I help someone else move to their own house. Whereas I think the kingdom is an opposite kingdom. I think when you hold faith and frustrations in the same hands, it's the best place and time and season in your life to say, God, I don't want to roll the stone away, but my frustrations don't give me license for disobedience. What is it in 2026 that you want me to do today? What stones do you want me to roll away today? And it might trigger the very frustrations that I'm believing, I'm frustrated with you for because of these unmet things, unmet expectations, unanswered prayers that are yet to come. But today, I stand in a place where I'm going to turn my frustrations into faith, and when in frustrations into trust, and I'm going to stand in faith today, and fully allowing my revelation of your character to inform my lack of my confusion, my lack of understanding about your timing. And if there's anything that you want me to do today that maybe doesn't fit with the fact that I still live in this place of uncertainty, what is it that you want me to do? Because I will roll the stone away. Can we give God a big shout of praise today?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.